Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Preston Washington. Coming to you, I'm your host this evening for the Gift of Freedom, coming to you out of Kansas City, Missouri. I'm a genealogist here, president of the Midwest Afro-American Genealogical Interest Coalition. My guest tonight is Marshall Jones III. Marshall is the producing artistic director for Crossroads Theater Company. Good evening, Robert. Marshall.
Yes. All right. Good evening.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Okay, I'm great. Okay, Crossroads Theater Company. You're in New Jersey?
Yes, we are in New Brunswick, New Jersey, about midway between New York and Philadelphia.
Okay. I'm curious how you came about the name Crossroads. First thing I thought about was the blues man, Robert Johnson. You down at the Crossroads?
That wasn't exactly it. As the story goes, when the founders were looking for a place to locate the theater, that building is no longer there, but it was at the crossroads of two highway. And it was always wanting to be the coming together of all types of people, so Crossroads seemed to fit well. And that was back in 1978.
And how long have you been with the theater company there?
7 years. I started in 2007.
Okay. So but, what we got going on up there right now?
Well, we we're in the middle of what we're calling Legacy Month. We have decided to, instead of doing a production during the month of February, which obviously is African American History Month, that we would celebrate our legacy and our culture and at the same time put together a series of fundraising activities. So we've had two so far. We have two more to go, and it's pretty exciting. And then coming up in April, we have the world premiere of a brand new play by best-selling novelist Walter Mosley called Lift. And that play opens April.
Okay, that's Walter Mosley, April the 10th?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's get back to Legacy Month. You got a couple of events yet to come up. Tell us about the first one to come up.
The first one is actually this Saturday, and it's called the Movie Marathon. We have about 10 people participating to watch 5 hours of movies in a row, starting at 11 o'clock, and we should wrap up around 9:30. And I got this idea last year where I'm a professor at Rutgers, and the students raised $600,000 by doing a dance marathon. So what we decided to do was a movie marathon where we're watching 5 movies in a row. All of the movies capture the spirit of Crossroads and our mission, which is to create professional theater of the highest standards that celebrate the culture, history, spirit, and voices of the entire African diaspora. That is our mission, and we select movies to do that. And we ask the people that participate to raise $250. That's the suggested number, which kind of equates to about $10 per movie. So we're excited about that. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Have you ever watched 5 movies in a row?
Never watched 5 in a row. No. What will they be watching? What movie?
We broke it up into genres. So we start with a musical, and all of the people that participate get a chance to select the movies. So we'll be watching Dreamgirls first, and then we will watch the documentary 20 Feet to Stardom, then Eve's Bio, and Love Jones, and we'll be ending up with a comedy, the Richard Pryor classic, Which Way Is Up?
Okay, 20 Feet from Stardom. That's relative to background singers, right?
Correct.
Okay. And is that from the 1960s, 50s, or?
I believe it examines background singers from the 60s.
Okay. And the Love Jones, does that have a basketball motif in it?
Yes, that deals with some two folks that are in love, and yeah, it has a basketball background.
Yeah, and you said you're finishing up with a Richard Pryor movie.
Which Way Is Up?
Which Way Is Up? Oh yeah, that's
from
a good
the
70s.
One. Yeah. And we have, I'm a professor at Rutgers, so we have some students that are involved, and they haven't seen a lot of the movies. We feed the people that watch the movies, and there's some real interesting conversation and dialogue in between, so we enjoy that.
Great.
We enjoy that. Mm-hmm.
So we start with Dreamgirls, 20 Feet from Stardom,
mm-hmm.
Love Jones, and...
Ease Bio. And Ease Bio.
One.
Yeah, Ease Bio.
Ease Bio. Okay.
And that's a Samuel L. Jackson movie. And then Which Way Is Up?
Okay, great. Just got a tweet here that the 20 Feet from Stardom cast will be on the Arsenio Hall show.
Oh, wow.
And along with Ilyasa Shabazz, that's going to be tomorrow.
That's great timing.
Yes, it is. And you're coming up, your deal is Saturday, so you might let your folks know about that.
Absolutely. We can do that with all of these wonderful technologies.
Oh, hey, instant technology, isn't it? Instant, right now. Now, the second event in Legacy Month, what's that entail?
We're going to be, that's March 2nd, and we'll be honoring the playwright Richard Wesley. He has written several plays, including The Talented Tenth. He's also a screenwriter, and when he was a young pup in the 70s, Bill Cosby tabbed him to write Uptown Saturday Night, the movie with Sidney Poitier.
Exactly. What else is he noted for? Any other movies that Richard Wesley's noted for?
He did the TV movie about Mandela. He also did the sequel to Uptown Saturday Night called Let's Do It Again. And that starred J.J. from Good Times.
Yeah, okay. Mr. Richard Wesley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is a noted playwriting teacher at NYU. And we're just honored. And he's been a part of Crossroads for quite some time, so this is a nice little celebration. He's a Howard grad, so he was there, I believe, right before Debbie Allen and Felicia Rashad. But he comes from that Howard class. And prior to that, February 9th, we had a program called Founders Day, and the founders of Crossroads had a parting in 1988, and then the new building, brand new complex, four stories high, 300 seats, was built in 1991. However, the founder that left has never been in this building, but he came back 25 years later, and it was quite an event. We had a lot of former staff and former artists, so it was a very special moment. And then last week we did a reading of a play called Repairing a Nation by a young playwright named Nicole Salter. It's a beautiful play that tackles reparations. But she does a great job of humanizing and using a family as kind of a metaphor for the race and what we need to do in order to heal to move forward. But it looks at the effects of the 1921 Tulsa, Oklahoma race riots in Greenwood.
Oh, yeah, in Greenwood.
Yes. So it's a fascinating play, and we'll be doing a full production of that next year in 2015.
Okay. And you've been at Crossroads 7 years. How long have you been at Rutgers?
I've been at Rutgers since 2002. And I graduated from Rutgers in 1985, so it's changed a bit since then.
Yes, and do you have anything to your credit in terms of plays? And
well, I will be directing Lift. That's the new Walter Mosley play, and we're really excited about that. One challenge that a lot of novelists have is that they work singularly. They essentially have their editor, and it's not collaborative. And some of them find that pretty challenging to kind of move into a collaborative art form like theater when you have so many other people interpreting the work that they create. I can say that Walter is not like that. He is energized by the collaborative process and has just been great. So we're very excited about the production. And even though he hasn't had many plays produced, he's a natural and gifted storyteller. So if you've ever read any of his novels, you know you can't put it down because the mystery and the plot twists and the characters are always so nuanced and sophisticated and interesting. And the same thing is true with his plays. So the play Lift, in an elevator of a multinational finance company, and there is a couple that's on the elevator there's a homegrown terrorist attack, and they are trapped in the elevator. There's no electricity, and it's the summertime, and they can plunge to their death at any time. So the play, the word Lift is a European word for elevator, but it also, what happens is the veil that we all have as we deal with people, particularly strangers, are lifted. And these two, their secrets are exposed, and a lot goes on in a little 90 minutes that Walter has jam-packed. So we're really excited. We had auditions on Tuesday. We have callbacks coming up on Wednesday. Mr. Mosley will be in town, so hopefully by Thursday we'll have our cast.
And what are some of the novels that we might be familiar with?
Well, one of his most famous is Devil in the Blue Dress. They made a movie.
Okay.
They made a movie of that with Denzel Washington.
Yes.
That particular character, E.Z. Rollins, his second-to-last novel, which came out about 5 or 6 years ago, he killed off E.Z. Rollins, or so he thought. And last year he wrote a new novel about E.Z. called Little Green, where E.Z. Rollins comes back to life. So that's pretty fascinating about that. So,
and he's going to be coming to New Brunswick. Where is he stationed? Where does he work out of?
He works out of New York. And he's a prolific writer. He has essays. He gets up at the crack of dawn every morning and writes. He recently signed a deal with HBO and Lawrence Fishburne to develop one of his books into a TV show. And Mr. Fishburne was in a movie with that same character. I think it was about in 2000.
Okay.
Perhaps. Yeah, and the characters, the book and the movie has the same title. It's called Always Outnumbered, Always Outgained. And Lawrence Fishburne plays Socrates, the name of the character, who was just released from prison and trying to get his life together. Natalie Cole is in the movie, and a couple other stars. So that's going to be a series on HBO.
Wow, yeah, I recall that. It was a good movie.
Yes.
Okay, New Brunswick, New Jersey. I want to remind our listeners that they can give us a call here at 347. I'll get back to you with that number. But anyway, we're coming to you over the guestoffreedom.com. I want to remind you that these programs are available free of charge via iTunes at blackhistoryblog.com. Okay, 7 years there at Crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
About 12 years. Is that a call coming in? Do we have a caller on the line? Okay. And are you still there, Mr. Jones?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. And, yeah, I thought we had a call come in. I heard some noise there. And you've been with Rutgers since 2002. So when you graduated from Rutgers, how long did it take you to come back and get on the staff there?
Well, I guess, you know, like a lot of college grads, I wasn't certain what I wanted to do. So I took a little time away from theater. I worked at Hertz and then realized that, you know, the corporate world just wasn't for me. And I went to NYU grad school and got my degree in arts administration and producing. So I graduated from there and worked at the Harlem School of the Arts. And then I worked in Newark Symphony Hall in Newark, New Jersey. And then a little theater in Harlem called the Apollo came calling. So I went back to Harlem and worked at the Apollo for a few years as the general manager.
Okay, and how long were you there, and who did you come across there? Who did you have an opportunity to work with?
Lots of folks. I was there from like 92 to 95. So I guess one of the highlights was James Brown had taped his third Live at the Apollo album there. So working with Mr. Brown was quite a treat. So that was a very fond memory. We also did a couple TV specials called the Apollo Theater Hall of Fame, and that was kind of special. It was aired on NBC. So we had B.B. King, we had Regina Bell, Eric Clapton, just great, great, great talent. And then that was also in the height of the syndicated TV show Showtime at the Apollo, which the Apollo Theater Foundation, who I worked for, we didn't produce that. Percy Sutton's company produced that. But we certainly didn't have any dull days with that was when Snoop was certainly at his height, and the whole gangster rap movement with Biggie and Tupac,
oh, yeah,
and all that.
So
they all came.
Thing.
They all came through the yes. That certainly did lead to sleepless nights when we would do these concerts.
Moving back to Crossroads, what stars have you had appearing there at Crossroads?
Well, when the new building first opened up in 1991, it was opened by Bill Cosby. So he pretty much was the first performer on the stage. And in 1991, his TV show was still very, very strong, and it was a huge kind of boost to open up this new building. The paint backstage was not even dry yet. I believe that was one of the jokes that Mr. Cosby made. So that was a really crowning achievement to have this, at the time, $4 million facility opened up that is doing work exclusively for black people, produced by black people, where a couple of college grads in 1976 dared to dream. And 2 years later, they opened up a company, and you know, so that was a momentous time. Yes.
Okay. Now the new building, 1991. When did Crossroads begin initially?
1978. 1978. Yeah, it was part of, and it was pretty much funded the first 2 years with federal dollars. The Carter administration, actually, I'm told it started with Nixon, but the CETA program, Comprehensive Employment Training Act, and the federal government would pay because the money went to urban areas to help provide skills. So we're building sets, that's carpentry, we have lighting, that's electricians, we have box office people, that's customer service, we have actors, they're performers. So it was really a great opportunity because everyone that was around at that time got a chance to just do everything and be on payroll automatically. So they would literally be cleaning the toilets, answering phones in the box office, and then at 7 o'clock go change, get in the costume, and perform at 8. So without the pressure of sales and fundraising, it gave them a tremendous advantage. They only did those grants for 2 years because one of the things is that once you've done it for 1 year, you're not eligible for the next year. And a company of artists was growing.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to think for people who don't feel that the federal government should be involved in these kinds of activities, I think the few thousand dollars that was given was an investment that certainly paid off.
Certainly paid off, starting in 1978, and you're still going strong.
Yes.
Do you guys have any partnerships with New York theaters?
Yeah, absolutely. In 1983, there was a production of Paul Robeson done by Avery Brooks. Avery Brooks was one of my professors at Rutgers, and he also worked at Crossroads. And it was directed by a gentleman named Hal Scott, one of the foremost black directors in the country. He left us in 2005, but it was an extraordinary production. Avery was and is a fantastic singer. He also is like 6'2", 6'3", so he has the size of a Paul Robeson and certainly the depth in terms of acting. So that show was moved into New York. It was a really short run, but that was kind of Crossroads' first foray. Then in 1986, Crossroads got a grant from CBS to find the best play in the country. And they got over 1,000 entries, and the play that they chose was The Colored Museum by George C. Wolfe. And that play kind of put Crossroads on the map. It went on to play New York, it played London, it traveled all over the country, and it helped launch the career of George Wolfe, who went on to run the public theater in the 90s, and now he's a big Hollywood director.
And he got his start right there with you guys.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And it was a controversial show. I mean, 1986, the climate was really different. And Colored Museum, actually, it satirizes a lot of, I guess, some sacred areas of black history. But Mr. Wolfe wanted to make comments on it and us. So it has, and it's done by colleges all across the country, and there's still some really, really funny scenes. I like to say it was in living color before in living color.
Oh, okay.
There's a great scene where there are two wigs, actresses whose heads stick out of a table, and one has all natural, a nice afro, and one has relaxed hair. And then the girl is getting ready to go out, and she's got her wig cap on. And the two different hairs are saying why they should wear, why each one should be worn. Whether it's, you know, I can fling my hair, and then the other one's like, she's all natural. It's really funny. It's funnier when you see it. It's not as funny when I explain it.
I get the picture, yes. And so what other controversial types of productions has Crossroads been involved in?
I'm not sure the word is controversial. I mean, I think that was probably the most. But I think the important thing to recognize by Crossroads is that, you know, diversity is not a code word. You know, it's not an end thing, like branding or one of these other kind of business things. It's who we are. It's our DNA. We don't have to work at it. We are who we are. And there's an intrinsic sense of pride that we have in our plays because these are our people. So I look back to, I believe it was 1990, and a play about the Tuskegee Airmen called Black Eagles was done. And it was moved down to the Ford's Theater. And the first President George Bush saw it, along with Colin Powell, who was not Secretary of the State at that point. I believe he was the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And the next day, George H.W. Bush opens up his press conference, and he's going on and on about this great production about the airmen. And the first George Bush was a World War II veteran. And that was a crowning achievement. And then the founder of Crossroads wrote a slightly different play, a different take on the Tuskegee Airmen called Fly. We first aired that in 2009 here at Crossroads, and our friends at the Fords saw it, and they were impressed. And let's see, the fall of 2012, yes, the fall of 2012, it was done. At the Ford's Theater in D.C. Now, the Ford's Theater is the same theater where President Lincoln got shot.
Okay.
And they restored it. The balcony that he was in is off limits, but there's a flag that drapes it, and it's kind of it's been memorialized. When I went to the opening night of Fly, I was about 20 feet away from there. I had seats in the balcony, and below me, in the orchestra section, were original airmen who were like 70, 80 years old, and they wore their red jackets, and it was just chilling moment to see their stories unfold right in front of their eyes, and then to be 20 feet away from the location where President Lincoln got shot. It was quite amazing. And Peter Harvey, our Attorney General's wife was at the show, and she raved about it and kept telling the First Lady that she needs to see it. She should take the girls. It's really important. And lo and behold, on the final projection, final performance, Michelle Obama and her two daughters came to see the show. She went backstage. She got to meet the cast, and that was just thrilling. I wasn't there, but the founder was there. He directed and wrote the show, and I was also told that pictures were not able to be taken because this was not an event that was on the official calendar. So I'm not exactly sure why they do that, but So that's kind of a highlight, and I think the important thing to recognize is that we want to produce plays that celebrate our culture and our history, and we do it from a perspective that's authentic because we are who we are, and I think that's one of the things that makes Crossroads unique.
I'm so glad that you brought the Tuskegee Airmen up.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for our listeners, and particularly our African-American listeners, to understand, and our white listeners as well, that black folks made a significant contribution to what they're now calling the greatest generation.
Generation, absolutely.
We were there. Most assuredly, we were there. Did you happen to see the movie Red Tails? And if so, what were your thoughts on it?
I never sat through the whole thing. I must say I don't get to see many movies, except during our movie marathon. Working in a theater and being a full-time professor kind of keeps up my time. But it seemed that particular movie seemed to emphasize more the action part. So it was kind of Star Wars up in the air. And I think our plays, both Black Eagles and Fly, really go into the heart of these men and why they were so brave and what made them special, what made them a part of this greatest generation that we like to laud, but we need to recognize that it didn't just stop with, you know, the white figures that are listed all the time, mm-hmm. and that there are many, many contributions by that generation.
And do you guys have a website?
Yes, we do. It's www.crossroadstheatercompany.org. That's Crossroads, plural, theater, R-E, and company spelled out. We are a not-for-profit company. So there are charities, contributions are fully tax-deductible. And I'll just say that our movie marathon is tax deductible. We're accepting contributions, so if anybody wants to support that, they can go to GoFundMe/moviemarathon and provide support that way.
Okay, GoFund, that's FUND, me.com.
Yeah, I think they're dot. Let me just double check really quick. I believe they're .org.
Oh.
Oh, this is terrible. Dead air is bad for radio, right? No, it's GoFundMe.com. Sorry.
Okay, GoFundMe.com, and there will be a logo there to click in reference to Movie Marathon, or will they look for Crossroads Theater Company?
It will be GoFundMe, one word, .com slash Marshall's Movie Marathon, and that is no apostrophe. So Marshall's Movie Marathon.
Okay.
And they can make a contribution there.
Great. Marshall's Movie Marathon. And do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, we do. It's Crossroads Theater Company. You can like us. And we give out free tickets every Friday, something that we're really excited about called Free Ticket Friday. All you have to do is answer a question. And then we put the names in a hat, and we'll pick it out, and we announce the winner on Saturdays. We try to find questions that are related to the show. So like last week with Repairing a Nation, the show about reparations, there's a long-distance relationship in the show. So we had a question about long-distance relationships. So people were answering that, and we picked a winner.
Right,
I don't know exactly what they have planned for tomorrow's Free Ticket Friday, however.
Okay. You mentioned there was a play there relevant to Paul Robeson. What other historical figures have you portrayed there on your stage? And did you go back back to as far back as the Underground Railroad, any of those historical figures, William Steele, people of that ilk?
We, in 1999, another show that we premiered here that went to Broadway was called It Ain't Nothing But the Blues, which was conceived by Ron Taylor. He's no longer with us. It starred Greg Porter, who just won a Grammy for Best Jazz Vocalist, and that was a celebration of the blues. We did a revival of that a few years ago. We did a one-man show about Muhammad Ali, a couple years ago. One show that was done in 1988 that we also redid in 2008 is called Sheila's Day. And Ricardo Khan, the founder at the time, apartheid had a strong grip in South Africa. And he was able to work with the State Department and get six South African actors to come to America to put together a show. So we had six South African actors and six American actors, and they developed a show called Sheila's Day. And Sheila's day, the word Sheila is a domestic worker in South Africa. White South Africans could never pronounce their names, so they just called them all Sheila. And Thursday is their traditional day off, so this play takes place on Thursdays, where the domestic workers of South Africa and the domestic workers of the American South come together and share their stories and their souls and their spirits. In talking to some of the, and when we revived the show 20 years later, we cast some of the same actors who were in the show originally in 1988. And when I hear their stories, like when they would be very, very frightened to go out in New Brunswick at night. It wasn't because of, urban fear and city life, but they were afraid in terms of the government and could not believe that Black Americans could go out and have a drink and party and not have to worry about passbooks and being out at night and so on and so forth. So we did a revival of that show in 2008. We did a little bit opposite. We took American actors to South Africa, and they rehearsed the show, and it played at the Historic Market Theater, and then we brought it back here. And that show has real, real special meaning because you really see the commonalities in the plight of these workers an ocean away in terms of what they're experiencing from as being oppressed and in oppressive situations in South Africa, and there's not much difference between them in the American South.
Yeah, as you were talking, it kind of brought up in my mind the movie The Help.
Yes.
That aired recently. Now, do you guys often, they're always taking plays and adapting them for the screen. Does the opposite occur?
Well, it occurs on Broadway. I mean,
okay.
There's a musical of Rocky that's opening up. Lion King was a movie first. There's a Legally Blonde. So the list goes on and on. Actually, Hairspray, that was a movie first. And then they did the Broadway play, and then they made a movie about the Broadway play.
Streetcar Named Desire, is that coming up or has come up?
That played, yeah, they did a, that was done with an all-African-American cast starring Blair Underwood a couple seasons ago.
Oh, it's been that long.
That was a limited run. But Mr. Denzel Washington is about to grace the stage again. As Walter Lee Younger, Sidney Poitier role in A Raisin in the Sun.
Okay, great.
So that should be interesting, though the character is 36 years old. Mr. Washington is not 36, so.
Yeah, much past 36.
Yes.
Memory serves me.
I did get a chance to see him in Fences, where he played Troy, who's in his 50s, and he was brilliant. The Tony Award he got from that was well deserved, but you mentioned The Help, and quite frankly, I mean that was a white author, and I'm oftentimes given scripts that have African American subjects or African American subject writers, subject matters, and the authors are white, and I'm hesitant at times, and I'm hesitant because there are so many Black authors and Black playwrights who don't have opportunities, who don't have a chance of having their voice heard. And to me, it probably is coming from a more authentic place. It's coming from a place that's not observational but experiential, and that interests me. In fact, in that movie, I was far more interested in the Help and their characters, Viola Davis, who also worked at Crossroads in her young career in the 90s. I was much more interested in her characters than the college girl.
Yeah, she is one fantastic actress.
Yes.
One fantastic actress.
Yeah, I got a chance to see her in King Headley on Broadway, August Wilson's play, I believe about 10 years ago, and she was just stunning. Fierce, very talented. But
yeah,
you know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, quite frankly, there is no shortage of talent. There's lots and lots of talent out there, both behind and writing, acting, directing. There's no shortage. You know, the challenge comes in the resources. The challenge comes in the funding, which is very limited. As theaters, we have to compete with Netflix and the movies and Amazon Prime, and things are far more closed. One of the things I was telling my students just this morning in class was because this current generation is bombarded with all kinds of imagery, whether it's so much in their iPhones and on their computers and their TV, that an evening in theater should really be embraced, because you have to shut out the world. And in this dark room, with share a unique experience with a bunch of strangers,
mm-hmm.
experiencing characters who are going through conflicts, who have been inspired to try and overcome some obstacle, or they've been dealt a hand that they've got to figure out how to solve. And you know, unlike a TV show, everything is not going to be wrapped up nice and easy. But hopefully we can challenge them in a way that motion pictures and television cannot, because we have them right in front of us. So
exactly.
Hopefully the younger generation will kind of recognize the value of an experience like this, the value of something that's live and not virtual or digitized. But, you know, kind of old-fashioned, kind of nice and simple.
I was watching Frontline last night, and they were doing a special on these young kids and Facebook and social media.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's you know, the thing to do out there now is to get likes. Everybody wants likes. And this kid, I guess he had 3 million followers and 18 years old and practically living off endorsements.
Wow. Yes.
Through his YouTube account. And what about your contact information before we get away from here? If our listeners might want to contact you directly, can they do that, and how would they do that?
Sure. You can go to our website. We have the contact button with the phone number or the email. Phone number is 732-545-8100, or you can email me at membership@crossroadstheatercompany.org.
Right.
But it's a brave new world we're entering, and it's very, very fast. I was also telling my students, you know, the divorce rate has kind of leveled off at 50%, but it might increase, because I don't know if you're married, but I am. And one thing I can tell you is how important communicating is. And if you're texting and your head is down on a screen all the time, you're not communicating in a real meaningful way. I have students that will break up over the internet, either through Facebook or texting, and not saying eye to eye, you know, I think we should go in different ways. Or they'll ask someone out, which they don't really do. They just say, we hook up. So it's not like you're formally with somebody. It's interesting how times change.
I was just this afternoon at lunch looking at couples sitting there together, and they're both on their phones.
On their phones, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a brave new world out there.
Which I believe just speaks to the value of what we do, because you can. In fact, when people do answer phone, I was at a Broadway show last night, and the most inopportune time, somebody's phone went off. The play was a glass menagerie, and when Laura hands the glass menagerie to the gentleman caller, I mean, it's a silent moment, and her phone went off, and guess what? She answered. She answered. I mean, everybody just started shushing her, and she left out the theater, but that...
Well, it's a good thing she wasn't in Florida.
Stand your ground, right?
Yeah. She might have got hurt.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
speaking of your students, or you were speaking of your students,
yes.
What advice would you give to our young listeners out there that wanted to break into the theater world? What would you advise?
Well, I would say it's a very, very tough business, and if there's anything else you'd rather do, do it. And you might say, well, that's not very positive. But the thing is that you go in this business and you do this because you wouldn't be happier doing anything else. And I've had students on both sides. I've had students that's like, you know, this is just too hard. You know, I'm going to study marketing and maybe I can work for a theater company, work for a motion picture company, and then that's perfectly fine. And I'm happy that they've been able to discover that the path that works best for them. But what I have to do as a professor is try to give them a good balance of clarity of what exactly this business is like, what the arts are, and the probability of your success happening like you think it's going to happen is probably won't happen. But if you know you wouldn't be happy doing anything else, if you'd be plagued with what if, then you go for it. So I also then have to give them encouragement, have to get them to believe in themselves. And it's a tough balance. It's a tough balance. But the real key is for me to provide them the information so that I can give them my 30 years of experience in this business so that they can then decide what is best for them.
Great. We've been talking to Marshall Jones III, who is the producing artistic director for Crossroads Theater Company, headquartered in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Give me a sense of New Brunswick in terms of location. How far are you from New York, Philly, or whatever?
Yeah, it's about midway in between in central Jersey. So you can take 95 and be to Philly in 40 minutes. You could take the turnpike and be in New York in 40 minutes at 3 o'clock in the morning when there's no traffic. but it's an hour train ride. New Brunswick is basically a college town. It is where Rutgers University is housed, the major campus, which is one of the oldest universities in the country, started in 1766, before the country was even founded. And it provides us with a fertile amount of resources. There's the Mason Grove School of the Arts, which is a fine theater school and music school. I am a product of that school, and I teach there. I mentioned Avery Brooks, who's a product of the school, and he taught there. He was my teacher. Some names you might know, James Gandolfini is a Rutgers grad, and so is Calista Flockhart, who played Ally McBeal back in the 90s. She was in Sex and the City. She graduated a couple years after me. Kristen Johnson. So it's a fine program, and I have a good, strong internship program where I'm using my students and introducing them to the world of professional theater, trying to get them to what I'm teaching them in the classroom becomes realized and they can put into practice, whether it's in marketing, whether it's in production, whether it's on stage. So there's a lot of that going on. There's also an arts district in town. So the George Street Playhouse, which is another not-for-profit theater, is right next to us. And then there's the State Theater, which is 1,800 seats. And they do concerts and more musical events because it's a larger venue. But it has a nice feel. It's quaint. There's great restaurants. We have a couple four-star restaurants located in the town. There's a beautiful luxury hotel right across the street. It's also the worldwide headquarters of Johnson & Johnson, and they have been good partners with us as it relates to our growth and development.
Oh, yeah. Johnson & Johnson does a lot of great work.
Yes.
Great contributor.
Yes, they are. They certainly recognize the importance of being good corporate citizens.
And I want to remind our listeners that the movie marathon will be happening and that you can contribute. That is a fundraiser there for the Crossroads Theater Company. And you can go to GoFund, that's F-U-N-D.
GoFundMe. GoFundMe.
.com/Marshall's Movie Marathon. Care to make a donation? Well, the old clock is letting us know that we're running out of time here.
Okay.
Do you have any final thought, any final word, Mr. Jones?
Well, I guess I'll just say to your listeners, you know, just look in your town. I know we're nationwide. I guess we're on the Internet, so we're all around the world. What I think is really important is to take young folk, whether he's in high school or college or she's in high school or college or maybe even junior high, and take them to a play. Not a musical where they're singing and dancing and kind of forgetting about their problems, but having a play where real-life people are right in front of them going through things. And it will challenge them and force them to pay attention. You can't just tweet it because it's going to be 2 hours. And I can say when they come to our shows, our goal is to have them go out different. You know, it might not be a major difference, but we've enlightened them about something.
Exactly.
And we know that by doing that, we're making the world a better place.
Well, I'm certainly glad that you took time out of your very busy schedule to join us here at the Gifts of Freedom. My guest is Marshall Jones III, who is the producing artistic director for the Crossroads Theater Company, New Brunswick, New Jersey. I'll be hitting that Facebook page there and give you a like.
That'd be wonderful. And you can participate in Free Ticket Friday tomorrow, although you're in Kansas City.
Kansas City, Missouri, out here in the heartland.
Okay. We've done some productions with the University of Missouri in Kansas City. We just did a play about the Negro Leagues called Kansas City Swing.
Yes, I missed that.
It's about Satchel Paige, and we work with people at the Negro Leagues Museum in developing it. And what was really interesting is that we were able to find an actual Negro League player. His name is Robert Scott, and he played for the Black Yankees. He was signed at 16 years old, and he came opening night, and he had front row seats. And what was really thrilling is during the curtain call, he leaped out of his feet and just hugged the actors.
Oh, good for him.
It was precious. He had his one of his Negro League jerseys on. And he actually became the star of the show because during the opening night party, everybody wanted his picture or his autograph. And he said to me, you know, I thought people forgot me. Mm-hmm. And he was really pleased that the plight that these very talented athletes had to go through was dramatized on our stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Gift of Freedom is certainly not going to let folks forget about Black history, and particularly those individuals that were involved in the black baseball. Speaking of Kansas City, what about the Kansas City Repertory Theater? Have you done any work with them?
No, I haven't, but they're a very reputable company, and UMKC has a very reputable theater program.
Yeah. There's a young brother here now that's written a play. It's going to premiere here pretty soon. And I think the title is Coming to Death. It's about two guys on death row at a prison in Indiana. I wish I'd have listened more. They were on radio this morning and should have listened a little bit harder. Okay. Technical producer here is telling us it's time to go.
Okay.
Again, Mr. Jones, I appreciate your coming in. And maybe we should get together here and do another show. You brought up a lot of topics that we probably need to explore. And
absolutely.
See if I can get some of my theater friends, like Marceline Letcher, up there in New York City.
That would be great.
Well, okay.
Have a good night, and thank you so much for having me.
Good night.
Okay.
I want to remind our listeners that the show is available, will be available, at blackhistoryuniversity.com free of charge via iTunes. You can also pick up Black History information at www.barryblackhistory.com. Can't get there, then come to www.blackhistoryblog.com. If that's not enough for you, get to thegiftoffreedom.com. My name is Preston Washington. I've been your host, and good night, everybody.